From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and this is my new time and day. So if you're driving home or listening to your radio, I welcome you to the show probably for the first time because I used to be on Saturday afternoons here at KXAM. And this is a show where I deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, meaning body, mind, and spirit, which means finding a sense of balance in what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what our heart tells us in terms of who we are on a spiritual level, as well as emotional, psychological, physical, and mental. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question I ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold, which is what most of us do, okay? If the truth will set you free, how many of us really are holding on to secrets or holding on to things that we're not being in integrity with about ourselves, about our lives, about our jobs, about how we live our lives, and it keeps us from feeling free? So the focus and import of the title of this show, Tell the Truth Faster, is just that. Telling the truth faster means you're carrying less around in your body, less around in your mind, less stress involved with how you get through your day and how you walk through your life. So today, since it's a new day and a new time for me, I thought I would use today's show to talk about the basics of why tell the truth faster and how to tell the truth faster. So I remind you it's a live call-in show, and the number in the Phoenix area is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. Now, if you're listening via the Internet, as I know I had listeners on Saturday doing that, and hopefully still do, it's the same number, 480-949-1310. Feel free to call in if you have some issues you want to talk about dealing with your own mental health or life situations, or about today's topic in particular, telling the truth faster. If I say something that you agree with or something you disagree with, I have no problem with people disagreeing with what I have to say and my approach to things. So to introduce myself a little bit more, I have been a psychotherapist for near on 30 years. I'm 56 years old, and I'm in private practice actually in the Los Angeles area, and I have been working with a variety of specialties dealing with self-esteem. I do a lot of relationships counseling. I do a lot of work with confidence issues, grief and loss. Have done and do a lot of work around HIV and AIDS over the years, and ADD in adults, and, well, More and more. So anyway, that's a bit about who I am. Originally from New York City, and I've been out in L.A. since 86. And I've been a radio talk show host now for about 4 years. This is, my second year on KXAM. I love doing the show, and I'm looking forward to a long and prosperous career doing this. So, enough about me. Let's talk about you. So this is a show, like I said, it's about telling the truth faster. Now, to start with, I want each of you who's listening, and if you're driving, obviously don't close your eyes right now, but if you can, go inside your mind, but pay attention to your driving. And if you're not driving, allow yourself to close your eyes for a minute. And think of the phrase that we're holding on to something for dear life. And think for a minute about what you're holding on to for dear life. And know that if you're holding on to something, that strongly and that closely, it's probably killing you and not really going to give you some dear life. What do I mean by that? If you're imagining something you're holding on to, maybe it's a secret. Maybe it's something about yourself or what you really dream about being or doing, or some secret that you're ashamed of people finding out, or you're fearful of people finding out. So what happens with something like that? What we do is we hold it inside. And what happens is that it takes more and more energy and more stress to keep that thought, that experience, that secret inside, and to dig it deeper and deeper and down inside of us. And so the more we hold on to it and the longer we hold on to it, the more it's affecting us on a physical level, our health, as well as our emotional level. And if you're keeping secrets in the context of a relationship, don't you think it keeps a wall and a barrier up between you and any relationship? We're going to be talking about how this impacts all sorts of relationships, not just a primary relationship. But the more you keep secrets, the more you have to keep every muscle in your body tense in order to put a shield or armor around those secrets or the parts of you that you're afraid to show or tell about, then the more isolated you become. Now, as I'm saying this, I know any of you, and all of us have secrets of some sort. If any of you are in touch with something that you know has been really disturbing you or really bothering you or you've been really fearful about, think about how long you've been holding on to that, how much time you spent invested in the fear of people finding out, of you having to live your life the way many of us then interpret it as living life as a lie, because we're not in integrity. We're not authentic in who we are and what we're doing and how people see us. And very often, if that's the case, even if people think the world of us and they tell us how wonderful we are, there's a thought in the back of our mind saying, well, if they really knew the secret that I'm carrying, they wouldn't think that. So you can't even absorb the good feelings that come with the good things you do in life and how it impacts other people. Now think for a minute, what kind of world this would be if no one knew how to lie? How different would personal, professional, and political relationships be if there were no games or manipulation? So if you remember a number of years ago, there was a movie with Jim Carrey called Liar, Liar. And somehow something happened, I think his daughter made a wish, and Dad couldn't lie anymore. And if you remember that movie, his whole life turned upside down. Because even he was an attorney, I think, and he in the courtroom he couldn't lie, and that certainly, you know, when you're defending someone or trying to prosecute someone, people manipulate, attorneys manipulate, they're trying to win their case. So think about what it would be like if you went through an entire day not being able to lie. It's an interesting concept. So when we're talking about lying, let's start with why people lie. Okay, think for a minute. When I say to you, why do you lie? What comes up in your mind? Most of us will justify our lying or our withholding of truth. Okay. There's a quote from Adlai Stevenson, a politician from the mid-1900s, and he said, the cruelest lies are often told in silence. In other words, the stuff that we know we need to speak, but we don't. We withhold it. And it's not, we justify it by saying, well, I didn't tell a lie, I just didn't tell them the truth. And so why do people lie? Most of us lie because we've been taught to lie. Children are born into this world innocent. They only know how to speak the truth. And that's why that phrase, out of the mouths of babes, why it amazes most adults so much when a kid says something that is a simple truth, but something none of the adults were willing to acknowledge. And how amazing it is that this kid said something so wise and so profound, and all they were doing was speaking what naturally they have been born into doing. All of us were born into that space of integrity, that light, that innocence, where we speak the truth. So what happens? What happens is, as we start being raised by whatever adults are raising us, we're taught how to lie. We're taught either that it's not safe for mommy or daddy to know the truth about something we're doing because they're going to be angry with us, they may hit us, they may punish us, they're going to humiliate us, they're going to speak down to us. So what happens if it's an abusive or that type of dark surroundings that a kid's growing up in? A kid's going to learn how to lie as a form of self-protection and self-preservation. If you think also, why do kids start lying? Well, part of it is because they see mommy and daddy lying. The phone rings and mommy doesn't want to speak to who's on there. Tell them I'm not home. It may seem innocent, but the kid's saying, well, mommy's telling me to lie. She's there. Why does she want me to lie for her and tell her that that she's not home? Okay? How many of you have lied on your income tax forms? How many of you have demonstrated to your kids how to get out of a speeding ticket? And so many other things. I mean, all of you can get in touch with some point in your childhood where you realize your mother or father was lying about something, or maybe lying to you. How often have we heard stories of family situations that went on for years, that there's a family secret that even the kids may not know anything about? And sometimes that adult goes to the grave, sometimes it's found out after the adult has died, and all of a sudden the truth comes out about so many things. But the family secrets are a big one, because very often, say there's sexual abuse going on, that perpetrator usually says, don't you tell anybody this is going on because I'll kill you. So this little kid now has to go through life lying about something that they really need to be able to talk about in order to get some support and in order for someone to create a sense of safety for them and get them out of that situation. So adults are the ones that usually teach the kids to lie. Not only do adults do it, but kids see this all over television, movies, probably even in school. They're given examples of lying, cheating, living out of integrity, stealing, all sorts of things. And it is important that we're raising kids in an environment where there is truth spoken and integrity played out. So why people lie? Because they're taught. Now, think of some times when you lied, and how many of you have used that phrase, well, I didn't tell them the truth because I didn't want to hurt them. It would just be too difficult for them to handle. Now, 9 times out of 10, that's not really why you didn't tell them the truth. Usually, and most of the time, why we're justifying it with that phrase, I didn't want to hurt them, the reality of it is, I didn't tell them the truth because I did not want to deal with the discomfort that I would feel when they had a reaction to what I had to tell them. So it's clearly an avoidance thing, a fear of someone being angry with you because you're getting honest with them about something that maybe is a bad thing or something you shouldn't have been doing or shouldn't have said or should have done and didn't. So very often we're justifying our lies with, I didn't want to hurt them, but the truth be known, for most of us, I didn't want to have to deal with the discomfort I would have to go through in order to really sit down and talk about this and get honest with it and deal with the repercussions and the consequences of something I needed to tell them. So part of it is that situation of avoiding something that makes us more uncomfortable. So you may have other reasons that you can come up with as to why people lie. We're taught how to lie, and sometimes we justify it because we think we need to lie. Now, as we move on with what the situation is about telling the truth faster, we start with let's go out, actually, into the big world. Let's look at two areas three areas, actually, that most people don't like talking about, at least politics and religion, although in this country people love talking about politics and religion. But let's start with politics. Most people are cynical about politicians because the immediate assumption is, no matter what they're telling us, they're lying to us. Unfortunately, that's become commonplace in our society, and I would say in most societies, where politicians crave power, and in craving power, they'll say or do whatever they need to do in order to get that power and in order to stay in power. So trying to be as balanced as I can here, let's start out with Bill Clinton, who is actually somebody that I voted for, so you get an idea of my own politics. Bill Clinton did something that he was terribly afraid of being found out about. Sex in the Oval Office with an intern. Okay? If it was with his wife, that would be nobody's business. Personally, I don't think it was anybody else's business but him and his family anyway that he did it with the intern. But what happened? President Clinton was found out, and what did he do? He lied. He figured if he lied enough, it would pass. But there was a part of him that knew that it was just putting off the inevitable. And I think if more politicians understood that, we wouldn't be going through what we went through with all of the hearings and the hundreds of millions of dollars that got spent over a simple thing that he had to do sooner or later, which was, yes, I did this, and I'm sorry, and I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed, and telling the truth faster. If he had gotten to that point at the beginning of that whole process, he might have had probably one of the most magnificent presidencies this country has ever seen, because the diversions and the distractions wouldn't have been there. It wouldn't have cost this country hundreds of millions of dollars, which shouldn't have been spent anyway, in my opinion. And all the time and energy and the wasted news reports and everything else, most of us really got bored with it after a while. So, I mean, I can find just as many Democrats who have lied as I can Republicans, but let's look at our current administration. You know, a lot of people feel that lies were told that ended up creating this war, weapons of mass destruction, and so many other things that went into it. So lying as a politician actually can impact life and death issues, finances, people's careers and jobs, and a whole society's reputation and well-being and sense of security. So if you look at what politicians do you know that you really feel have a sense of integrity? Now, like I said, I personally believe that I doubt we'll be able to find a politician that's never told a lie, or any human being that's never told a lie, but in particular politicians that use whatever they need to use to advance their power surge, so to speak. Okay? So, politics is one thing. Think of what would happen if everyone in politics spent a day not being able to lie. What transformation this country would see, and what upheaval this country would see, or any country would see, probably the whole world, if every politician spent 24 hours not being able to tell a lie. Truth come out, all of these panels that are put into place in order to investigate this one or that one or this situation or that situation, so much money would be saved, so much time would be saved, and people would actually get to a foundation of truth in this country, and we could start building from there. Now, that's politics. Now let's switch to religion. Okay? There are a lot of people who believe that their religion holds the only truth that exists, a spiritual truth that only their religion reflects. And in doing so, think throughout history how many deaths have occurred because of that rigid thinking and belief system that the truth is only in their religion and their approach to things. If we look at the sex scandal in the Catholic Church, how many kids would have been saved from, and I've worked as a therapist with a number of them who have been abused and molested as kids by priests. And I'm not saying it's just priests that's done this. I'm sure it's in every religion and every ministry. But right now we're dealing with the Catholic Church. If the Catholic Church had been honest with themselves decades ago, how many lives would have been saved and how much more peace and joy there would have been in a lot of these kids' lives who wouldn't be exposed to the priests that were molesting. Okay? And even when it started to come out, you know, there was still denial within the church. And like the same thing I said with Clinton, the truth came out sooner or later. It had to. Because once somebody started feeling safe speaking out about their own truth and their own experience and their own reality, others start feeling safer. And that's another domino thing that's really important. If people start telling the truth, other people start feeling safer speaking the truth and not lying anymore. And kids will learn it from an earlier age to hold on to the integrity of honesty. So, again, if we look at how many lies have been told about other religions and other groups of people in order to create uprisings and killings and wars, then we could see how even in the context of religion, that lying, even though most religions saying lying is a sin and you shouldn't do it, how many people in how many congregations have seen their own clergy telling lies and get caught up in it. Okay? They're human, too. This isn't a judgment. We're talking about human beings who are politicians, human beings that are clergy people, who have come up through their own families and have been taught what they've been taught. All of us, I believe, are seeking to raise ourselves to the highest vibration, the highest level of integrity. And to me, that's the natural place of being. It takes an effort not to be in integrity. It takes more effort to resist speaking your truth than it does to surrender to it. So we have now politics, we have religion. Now let's look at business and corporations. If we're looking at, let's use the tobacco companies for an example. How many decades have the tobacco companies been telling people, particularly in the West, how safe cigarettes really are? How nicotine will not cause lung cancer? How health problems are not caused by cigarette smoking? Even though for all those decades, as what's come out in the hearings, is that they knew and they had the research decades ago that actually proved the connection to cigarette smoking, nicotine, and lung cancer and other illnesses. But the profit margin was too important to do anything to change that. Not only was it important to the tobacco companies, but it then becomes important to the farmers who then become, I mean, it is a domino theory, okay? I was reading so much more in the paper today about the Arctic melting faster and Antarctica getting smaller and all the stuff that people warned us about 20 and 30 years ago about global warming that, again, politicians and business people were too threatened by understanding that there was truth to that, even though they saw the scientific stuff. Well, we need more studies. Nobody wanted to be the ones to say we need to change our business practices, our industry practices. We need to change political structures in order to address global warming so that this does not cause a global emergency down the road. Nobody 20 and 30 and 40 years ago wanted to be the ones to do that because, again, they wouldn't have been reelected. They would have been the bad guys because most people will not react until it's staring them in the face. As the oceans are now rising, as things are getting warmer, as species are actually becoming extinct because of the change in their feeding grounds and temperatures and their whole lifestyle is changing, and species are going to be disappearing. They already are, because people would not deal with the truth 20 and 30 years ago. So if someone was willing to start addressing the truth faster then, we would not be dealing with some of the environmental issues we're dealing with today, and our kids and our grandkids would not be inheriting the mess that they are and will be inheriting in the next generation. So, corporate. I mean, we've seen whistleblowers who have been fired, who have been harassed, who have been killed or disappeared, who have had to go into protective custody because they could not stand the lying. Look at Enron. How many people's lives and finances have been devastated because of the lies that a corporation has told in order for certain people to become richer and richer and not care about the people lower down? So we're looking at corporate stuff all over the place today. So we take this now, and we see how lying is so infused in politics, religion, corporation, and now we're going to take it down to the human level, to really who we are and how it impacts us on a personal level, on a relationship level. And remember, the name of the show is Tell the Truth Faster. There are relationships that all of us have had that were based on lies. And some of you may be saying right now, no, that's not the case. I've never lied in a relationship. Well, I'm sure that there are some of you out there that can say that and mean it. But there is a certain amount of lying that goes on from the minute we're out there trying to meet somebody. Are we telling them our real age? Especially online now with all of this internet dating, and you hear stories all the time about, you know, they think they're going to meet Prince or Princess Charming, and they get there, and the person is 15 years older or 400 pounds heavier or, you know, nothing what was represented on the internet. People are afraid to be who they are. My personal feeling is there's somebody out there for everybody, and take a look how much you're withholding the truth. The truth is what attracts people, I believe. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I had a client a couple of years ago who, I'm not divulging anything because she was actually a guest on my show, and you can actually listen to the interview I did with her because, for those of you who don't know, I have a website for the show called TellTheTruthFaster.com. And every show, including this one, has been archived on that website. You can go to any topic. It's actually become a really good resource for a lot of people for mental health issues, relationship issues, and a lot of different things that I have on there. So you could actually go and listen to Beverly's show. So anything I'm saying right now is not breaching any confidence, because I would not do that as a therapist. So I had this client that came to me a couple of years ago, and she was at that time, I think, 68 years old, a grandmother, and a widow, and a woman living with AIDS. At age 68, a grandmother and a widow. Okay? So myself, who has done counseling with gay men, women, kids, the whole gamut dealing with HIV and AIDS since the mid-80s, this was still to me a very unique situation. So here is this grandmother who comes in who's been dealing with AIDS, who husband died from AIDS about 10 or 12 years before then, and the husband went to his death still telling her that he got it from a prostitute and there was no other reason that he could have gotten AIDS. He ended up giving it to her, but insisted that neither his kids, because this is a second marriage for both of them, neither his kids nor any of their friends know that he had AIDS. She was forced to buy into the lie that he insisted on. Forced, and she chose to. So the only support she had throughout this whole thing of supporting him while he was dying, finding out in that time that she herself was HIV positive at that point was she finally told her own children from a previous marriage, so there was some network of support for her. But other than that, she chose to lie to all of their friends and everything else. So her husband dies. Beverly goes on through life dealing with her grief and the loss. This is her true love, and she could handle the fact that, you know, he didn't know he had AIDS. He gave it to her and all that stuff. Well, she started coming to me, and we started piecing the puzzle together. And as we pieced the puzzle together, and as I helped her maybe question some other people, it turns out that the secret he was really keeping was that he was bisexual and that he was out having unprotected sex with men and coming home and having unprotected sex with her, knowing that he had HIV. So here's a lie that majorly affected the potential for life and death in another human being, never mind the lie that contributed to his own death. So Beverly and I are working together for about a year, year and a half, and she's finally finding some semblance of peace with what's going on. Her health has improved. She's a vibrant, humorous, intelligent, and very glamorous, very beautiful-looking woman. And now she's dealing with the fact that, okay, I'm almost 70 years old, and I'm lonely. And I don't want to live the rest of my life not having sex again, and I want some intimacy in my life, but who's going to want these damaged goods? I said to her, okay, you don't want to at 68 start going to mixers and you don't want to go to bars and things like that. Let's talk about modern times. How about the Internet? So some of you heard the ad before my show for eHarmony.com. I suggested to her, go to eHarmony.com or Match.com and put up a profile and see who you can start dating. Well, what happened was on the second person she met through eHarmony, and they should be sponsoring my show because I've been talking it up so much, she met this guy who, wealthy, intelligent, also a widower, with grown children, about a year or two older than her, and they had one date and knew immediately that they clicked and this was great. The second date now, after the second date, they're already kissing, and she comes back to me, and she says, I have to break it off. I said, why? She says, because once I tell him that I have AIDS, he's going to leave anyway. So I said, well, why don't you give him the benefit of the doubt and at least get honest with him, and you need to do it sooner and later anyway, which is what I tell anybody with HIV or AIDS, and anyone who doesn't have it who starts dating someone needs to discuss this at a certain point. I don't care what age you are. Because one of the other points of this story is for people who are middle-aged and seniors still need to deal with this issue when they're dating and they're single. So she took a breath and, you know, I helped her rehearse what she might say, how she might do it, and they went on their third date and she said to him, I need to talk to you about something. And I need to get honest, and I need to do this, and you probably may not want to see me again, but this is what's going on. She told him the whole story. And rather than continuing the date, he said, you know what, let's end this date here, and I'll speak to you tomorrow. So she assumed that was just the way he was going to brush her off. He needed some time to process it, but she was now a mess. She called me. She said, this is painful. Well, he did call her the next day, and he said, you know what, Beverly? I know that when I met you, this was something unique and something that I may never find again, and I don't care that you have AIDS. I want to see you, and we're going to figure this out, and we're going to work it out, and we're going to be intimate, and we're going to let this play itself out. Well, how it played out a year later is that they got married. Because she was willing to tell the truth, unlike what her husband did, her second husband did, her willingness to be courageous enough to speak the truth allowed for greater intimacy, greater honesty, and a much deeper relationship between herself and this guy she had just met. Now that is an extreme situation, but I don't care what you're withholding in the context of the relationship you're in. Or if you think of, if you're not in a relationship, the things you're withholding that are keeping you from being in a relationship. Okay? I'm a gay man, and I know that within the gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, there are a tremendous amount of secrets. People are in terror of being open and honest about things. Okay? Even my openness on the air right now, to me, it's an important thing that, you know, I'm not, you know, going out and marching necessarily, but it's an aspect of who I am. It's part of what I bring to what I do and who I am and where I am in relationships, whether it's a primary relationship, a business relationship, a professional relationship, family relationship. The level of honesty impacts everyone. So in terms of sexual orientation and sexuality issues and secrets people have about even sexual abuse or sexual promiscuity at certain points in their lives, the issue of sex is so clouded in fear and fear of judgment and fear of rejection and fear of abandonment, all these sort of things, that sex often comes with a whole set of lies for a lot of people. So think for a minute about some lie that you're living in or some truth you haven't spoken that either keeps you single or keeps you in a relationship where there's a certain depth and level of intimacy you really crave, but you can't get to. Now, everybody puts it down to, well, you know, we're just not a good match. But 90% of the problems that people present with when they go into couples counseling is communication. They're not listening to each other. They're not willing to risk speaking what they need to speak. So 90% of the work we do with in couples counseling ends up about teaching them how to listen to each other and how to have the courage to say what needs to be said. And I know that any of you listening can realize that if you're having difficulty in any relationship you're in right now, whether it's a homosexual or heterosexual or bisexual relationship, that communication is a big part of it. What is it that's not being communicated? What is it your partner has been trying to tell you that you've been closing your ears to and not wanting to hear? Maybe you don't even know what it is because you've closed them off and been so defensive for so long that you don't know how to take a breath and listen to what they have to say. So how to deal with telling the truth faster sometimes is by shutting up and listening more. Very often I have a technique that I use with a number of couples. The couples where they, as soon as they start trying to have a serious conversation, things escalate, or they get defensive. They're yelling at each other, which means they're not listening to one another. So a tool that I came up with about a year and a half ago that has worked amazingly is when I see a couple like that is I tell them not to talk about these serious issues face-to-face at all for the following week. I only want them to email each other. Now, the beauty about email is you don't have to put a stamp on something and wait a few days to get it and do all that. It is immediate communication, so to speak. But it gives someone time to read the words that they're getting. And it gives them, instead of the knee-jerk reaction, it gives them a time to compose or maybe even recompose a response. And instead of the escalation very often, the emails start becoming deeper, more meaningful, and much more honest because there isn't the threat of immediate attack for most of them. And very often, even within the first week, they come back after doing that for a week saying, I feel so much closer to them, to him or to her, because all of a sudden they're feeling respected and heard, or they feel, oh my God, I understand what they've been trying to tell me all this time, and I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't hear it. So even in the sense of relationships, communication is the basis. Healthy communication is the basis of every healthy relationship. Honest communication makes for healthy communication. Telling the truth creates honesty. Doing it faster eliminates so much wasted time and energy and fear and attack and judgment. Okay? So if you listen to this, telling the truth faster, I mean, it's not rocket science, but telling the truth faster helps increase the possibility for success in relationship, the possibility for greater intimacy and nurturing in relationship, the possibilities for more playfulness, more joy, and more passion in relationship by simply learning how to listen and speak your truth faster so that you're not in there in a sense of shame and fear and guilt. Okay? So, we're dealing now with relationships. I talked about the impact briefly that this has on people's health, even in terms of some with HIV possibly. Think about what that stress of withholding things does to one's immune system. Even if you don't have HIV, most people who are dealing with a lot of withholding and the fear of being found out and the shame and the self-esteem issues that are impacted on this have problems with their health. Because even for someone without HIV, their immune system has a more difficult time to do what it needs to do and do what it was naturally made to do if you're under a lot of stress and a lot of fear and you're withholding things. And think what it does to the other organs in your body. I mean, we get migraines, we get ulcers, we get headaches, people have heart attacks. Very often because of the level of stress of living a life that's out of integrity and the fear of being found out. So we're now dealing with the health issues. Remember, I talked at the beginning that this is about body, mind, and spirit, holistic approach to things. As a therapist, my belief system is that if we're not dealing with the whole person, if someone's coming in to me and we're just analyzing the mental things that are going on, the psychological aspects of something, and just working on analyzing that and not taking into account the other pieces of information, like what cues the body sends out and teaching people how to read those cues so they know that maybe a headache is not just a headache, that maybe it is tension that is being caused because something's not being dealt with faster. So if we're dealing with the health issues, think about how much healthier you would be if you weren't holding on to things and feeling so tense. You're going to be more in balance. You're going to be more relaxed. You're going to be dealing, as like I said, as a therapist, dealing with body, mind, spirit. Now, the spirit act part of this is not necessarily about religion or even about God. The spiritual aspect of what we're dealing with when we're dealing with a holistic approach is what's going on in your heart and soul, however you define that. Where's your level of peace and passion and love? How open is your heart or how closed is it? And what is the cause of why it's closed and what have you been able to do and bring it to consciousness in terms of how you've been able to open your heart and feel the energy of love flowing back and forth to you and other people wherever you go. So holistic means body, mind, spirit. And the heart is, to me, is about the essence of who we are, the spiritual part of who we are. So we talked about sexuality. We've talked about health issues. And with a lot of things, you know, we know, and most doctors will tell you that 85-90% of most illnesses is psychosomatic. Well, what do you think brings on psychosomatic illnesses? It's stress, it's fear, it's anger, repressed things that are not being spoken and not being dealt with. So doctors would basically go out of business if all these psychosomatic illnesses weren't happening if people were finding balance and peace in their lives. So think for a minute, again, what's going on in your life? What have you been withholding? What have you been holding on to for dear life, and how is it actually killing you? How is it affecting your relationships? Maybe even the career you're in. Maybe you haven't been honest and say, you know what, I'm not really happy doing what I've been doing. Maybe I just did it because this is what my family expected of me. What I really wanted to do is this or that. But how can I stop stop in midstream and all of a sudden say, I want to do something else. Well, you know what? Your life depends on your own happiness and how it is manifested in your career and in the amount of money that you're making and how much security you have and peace of mind you have and how much you enjoy getting up in the morning to do what you're doing for a living. How many of you listening can actually say, I love what I do and I enjoy getting up in the morning to go do it? I can say that. How many of you can say that? Does that mean I enjoy every day? No. You know, there are always things that we're dealing with. Okay? But how many of you are doing what you know you want to do and you are meant to do? What is your greatest purpose in life? Now, this is the core and essence of everything that people deal with in therapy, even if you're not putting it in these terms. We all came into this life. We all have a purpose. And to me, it's a high purpose. Why are we on this planet? What are we doing to contribute to the well-being and to the peace and balance of this planet? That starts from within us, okay? And it doesn't mean all of us have to be environmental activists or all of us have to be college professors or doctors or whatever. You know, the people who collect the trash in those trucks every week from us are helping being part of what keeps things in balance. If they weren't doing what they do for a living, this place would be a mess. There'd be a lot more disease, and it's very important. Everyone has a place and a purpose. Sometimes that purpose actually lives out in what we do for a living. But for many of us, what we do for a living allows us to collect the paycheck in order to do what really brings us joy and fulfills our purpose. So there are a lot of people that work in assembly line, and it's not particularly joyful. And for some people, they love that too. But for many people, it may not be joyful, but the paycheck is giving them the possibility and the opportunities to do things that they really like, whether it's a hobby, whether it's an avocation, whether it is volunteer work. They get to identify their higher purpose and live it out because the security they get from the paycheck they get every week, even if the job itself is not their passion. But they're grateful for that job and the benefits and the salary because it allows them to do what they feel passionate about. The more we're living our passion, the more we're actually contributing to the well-being in the world. The healthier we are, the healthier the relationships are. Think if you were really imbalanced and living something and doing something you're passionate about, think of someone that you know is doing that. Aren't you attracted to them? Isn't there, I mean, unless you're actually saying I'm jealous of them or you're resenting them, but most of us see the light in those people and we're attracted to them, which means they're attracting, number one, other people who are like that because birds of a feather tend to flock together, but also they're acting as inspirations to those of us who are not doing what they're doing. So rather than putting them down or judging them, take a look at them and say, what are the qualities that they're possessing that allows them to do that, that I also have but I'm just not tapping into? Or what are the qualities that allow them to do that that I don't necessarily think I know how to use and maybe I need to learn? Maybe I need to go to them and ask them how they're doing it. Or maybe I need to get into therapy and say, you know what, there's some behaviors and some aspects to my character that I really want to work on because this is where I want to be. And to be able to be honest and tell the truth about the fact that you're not where you really want to be is a very important thing. If you look at most addicts, they talk about how people don't reach out for help until they hit bottom. People are in denial. They're doing all sorts of things. They don't want to deal with the truth of their addiction. I don't care whether it's drugs, alcohol. I had a guy I spoke to last week at a consultant, a place where I do some consulting, who came in to talk to me about how in the last 6 months he's become a gambling addict. He'd never gambled before, but he's gone through his entire $100,000 in savings in 6 months in slot machines in a casino. And now he's looking at his retirement pension, and he started taking cash advances on his credit cards, and he came in and finally told the truth to somebody, meaning me, a therapist. And he knows he's crashing and burning. And I gave him my number for private practice. I told him where else he could go for Gamblers Anonymous meetings and all this other stuff. And I know he hasn't taken that step yet, because he's at least was able to take the first step to tell somebody his secret and his shame and his fear. But he hasn't been ready yet to take the next step of actually getting into therapy, going to the 12-step meetings in order to stop the cycle. He hasn't hit his bottom yet. So even with addiction, some people will not get to the truth about who they are and what they're doing until they're in enough pain. So what I'm inviting all of you to do is stop waiting for the pain in order to get honest. What I'm inviting all of you to do week after week on this show on Friday nights from 7 to 8 in Phoenix is to tune in and to start listening to things that might help you get honest with yourself about who you are and what you're doing, or who you are and what you're not doing. And not wait for you to be in such a high level and deep level of pain before you take action. That you ask for help and reach out for help, whether it's calling into the show in the future to talk about a problem that you may be having, whether it's just listening to the show in the future, where I usually have guests on that are talking about so many different issues and inspirational things, and challenging things that may help move you and shift you, or may help you understand yourself or someone else in your life to a deeper level so that there's less pain and anger and suffering and judgment going on. So that is where this show goes every week. It goes into a place where you're going to be challenged, you're going to be inspired, you're going to have an opportunity to listen to other people's issues and problems and maybe learn from it, or maybe even have the courage to call in and talk about your own from time to time. Tell the truth faster. What we talked about today is why tell the truth faster and how to. How to is you get help to learn how to do it, whether it's reading books, attending workshops, getting into therapy, support groups, whatever it takes, do it. Learn it. Find the people around you, whether they're fictional or real, whether they're public figures or someone in your own life or a relative or a friend who inspires you, who has some of those qualities. Be honest about the things that you feel shameful or uncomfortable about and seek to heal those. And get the help you need to do it before you have to be in the type of pain that this guy I was just talking about is totally broke. He's gone through, he'll probably have gone through his entire retirement savings, as well as what was in his savings account and credit card, and that's where he's going to be left. So, with all that being said, I really want to thank all of you for listening today. Hopefully, you found this interesting enough to listen next week, 7 to 8 on KXAM in Phoenix. I'm very glad to be traveling in your car with you if that's where you are or wherever you're listening. And I invite all of you to check out my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. Listen to some past shows. See some of the articles on there. And you can email me on there also if you have some questions or comments. This is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster, KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix, saying thanks for listening and have a great weekend. That I heard.